Please join me as we look to God in prayer. Father, we pray and ask for your presence to be in this place. Speak to us, we ask. Let your Holy Spirit reveal what is on your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we are going to look at the feeding of the 5,000, a very familiar story for many of us. It is one of the two miracle accounts that was recorded in all four Gospels, the other being the resurrection of our Lord. Each account of the miracle has a unique focus. And for the Gospel of John, the author's focus is for his readers to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, we may have eternal life. John 20, verse 30 to 31. And to examine the topic for this morning, we will look at the three groups of people and their responses in the feeding of the 5,000. Firstly, we'll look at the crowd. The crowd saw the signs but did not believe. Verse 2 tells us a large crowd was following Jesus because they saw the signs, the miraculous signs. And friends, we can be in frenzy and or in danger of chasing after miraculous signs or people who perform these miraculous signs but do not believe in the one behind the signs. In recent years, we have seen many overseas ministers and Bible teachers teaching at healing conferences, and people pay expensive fees to attend. I have nothing against that, but I've also come across people who attended these conferences to experience the miracles, but to not believe. And we see a similar situation here in the feeding of the 5,000. Verse 14, when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Despite having witnessed how Jesus had fed the 5,000, the crowd did not believe that Jesus was the divine Son of God. Instead, they came to their own conclusion that Jesus was merely the prophet that perhaps Moses had prophesied about in Deuteronomy 18. And that would put Jesus the same or equal to Elijah or Elisha. And that they thought that God had sent Jesus as the prophet leader to lead them on a political conquest to overthrow the Roman Empire. And it was for that reason that our Lord withdrew to the mountain by himself. In verse 15, when he realized that the crowd was going to take him by force and to make him their king, the crowd saw the signs but did not believe. Secondly, we'll look at the disciples. The disciples saw the signs but operated with a myopic faith. Verse 5, seeing that a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" In other gospel accounts, we were told that it was getting late and they were in a remote place, and the disciples had asked the Lord to dismiss the crowd in the remote and so that they could go and find food for themselves. And instead, Jesus instructed them, "You give them something to eat." But here in John's Gospel, Jesus turned his attention to Philip and asked him, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" And we were told in verse 6 that Jesus had said this to test Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. Let's pause for a moment. Imagine for a while that you're reading this miracle account for the first time in your life. And you have read earlier that the disciples were with Jesus when he turned water into wine, and the disciples were with him when he was healing the sick. What would you expect then, the disciples to answer the Lord's request? I believe for many of us, we would expect the disciple to answer with great faith, to believe that Jesus would do something even more miraculous. But that was not so. We look at the response of Philip in verse 7 when he said, "Lord, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. 200 denarii is half a year's wages, and the problem was twofold. Firstly, they did not have those money. And secondly, Philip lamented that even if they did, it would not be enough to feed everyone. People would still go hungry. Philip's knowledge and assessment of the situation was accurate. However, his faith in the Lord was myopic. He limited Jesus' divine ability and power. And despite having witnessed all the miracles that the Master had carried out all this while, he operated with this myopic faith. And there he was, Philip was thinking that whatever he had to put in Jesus' hand would not be enough for each one to get a little. And now we look at Andrew's response in verses 8 to 9. Andrew reported that it's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And listen to this. He said, "But what are they for so many?" Did Andrew do any better? No. "Lord, I know that you can perform great miracles, but there are just too many mouths here for you to feed." Andrew, too, limited the divine ability and power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, in the first place, we need to know that God does not need us or anything from us for Him to carry out His miracles. And we need to get that right. Jesus could have just commanded heaven to rain down manna on that very day. But His desire is to involve us. His desire is for us to operate with faith, even faith the size of a mustard seed, and to put no matter how small or how little that we have into His hands, and for Him to turn it into something amazing. And I need to ask, my friends, are we operating with a myopic faith like Philip and Andrew over the situations in our life? Are we limiting God's ability and power in the things that we are dealing with? And are we doing God's work in our ministry, in our church, in the smallest way because we think that God is not able? Truth is, nothing is impossible with God. The issue is, do we really and truly believe in Jesus Christ? Some months back, you remember that I shared how in 2015, we lost 30 Anglican church buildings in 2 earthquakes in Nepal. And I have also mentioned back then that it cost $50,000 each to rebuild the church. You do the sums, you know how much that will come up to. On top of that, we had to feed thousands of people who were hungry for months because they have lost their income, they have lost their livelihoods. And we had to provide temporary shelters for many. And with 8,000 members looking to the leadership for direction and comfort, I remember saying to them, "We will believe in Jesus." But you know what, my dear friends? But deep in my heart, I didn't believe. I remember saying to God, "God, this is impossible. This is a mission that is impossible. 30 church buildings, 50,000 each, so many mouths to feed. We're going to take years to raise those funds to rebuild the churches." And I remember one morning, I was doing my quiet time praying, and I heard God saying to me, "Son, do you not believe in me? Son, do you not believe in me?" I was seeing the problem that I have to deal with that was much bigger than our God. And that was my issue. And I repented. And I was on my knee crying out to God and praying, "God, truly have mercy. Help me with my unbelief." And the moment I turned from unbelief to belief, I witnessed the greatest and the most powerful miracle in my life. People gave, people pledged, and we raised all the sum that we needed to rebuild the churches in 2 weeks. God is amazing, my dear friends. Amen. And I share this testimony to constantly remind myself and to share with us that nothing is impossible with God. The question is, do we believe? Thirdly, we want to look at the boy. The boy saw the signs and operated with faith. Verse 9, Andrew reported, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. It was common during Jesus' time for people to pack and carry with them right ration of food whenever they were traveling on a long journey. So we shouldn't be surprised to find the loaves and fish on the boy. Barley loaves are very small bread loaves, cheap and unrefined. And they were meant for animals in those days. People then fed their donkeys and mules with barley loaves, and they became the diet for the poor. The boy also had 2 fish. In Greek text, we are told that these are dried fish, or what is equivalent to our preserved fish today, something that I really enjoy. And you need to know that the 5 barley loaves and 2 fish in this context is considered to be insignificant in the eyes of many. But for the young boy, it would have meant a lot to him. It was perhaps everything for him. And that's the reason why Andrew responded this way. There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they? What are they for so many? Also, in those days, when you're out on a long journey, your food ration is more important than money, and travelers will gut their ration with their lives more than their goods and their money from robbers. You can live without money, but you can't live without food in those days because there are no food kiosks along the way during the journey. So as a result, you don't go around showing off to people, telling people, hey, look, I have 5 loaves and 2 fish. So many scholars agreed that the boy must have overheard the conversation between our Lord and the disciples. And he had willingly took out on his own accord and offered up to the Lord his 5 loaves and 2 fish, with the intention that Jesus would somehow miraculously use it to bless the multitudes who were gathered that day. And what took place next was mind-blowing. Jesus ordered them to sit down. The men sat down, about 5,000 in numbers, and noticed that they had counted only the men, 5,000 of them. And scholars estimated that there were most likely about 15 to 20,000 men, women, and children who were gathered that day. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and he distributed them through his disciples to those who were seated, and so also the fish, as much as they wanted. They ate to the full that day. And in verse 12, when they had eaten their fill, Jesus told his disciples, get up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled up 12 baskets full with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. And although the disciples had not anticipated the miracle, our Lord invited them to be a part of this miracle, to distribute the multiplied bread and fish to the people. And now they were asked to collect the leftovers. And 12 baskets full they collected. The Greek text tells us that these are huge baskets. And more importantly, we need to ask the question why the Lord asked the disciples to gather up the leftovers. Besides the fact that there should not be food wasted, there are 2 important spiritual lessons for the disciples and for us today. Firstly, we should never doubt Jesus' divine ability and power. We need to believe who Jesus says he is. And we need to believe that he is bigger and more powerful than all the challenges that we may face in our life. Secondly, even our mustard seed-sized faith can move mountains. Do not hold back, my dear friends, from offering to the Lord our 5 loaves and 2 fish, no matter how insignificant that may be. But to operate with that small mustard seed-sized faith, to believe that Jesus can miraculously use it to bless the multitudes. Let me conclude. Scripture tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11. And faith is developed when we believe that Jesus is the divine Son of God. And the key to faith is to believe. Are we like the crowd who saw but did not believe? Or are we like the disciples who saw but operated with a myopic faith? Or do we want to be like the small boy who saw and operated with a simple believing faith, believing that Jesus can do amazing things in our lives and through us for His glory? What is your choice? And I want to say a little bit more how we are to apply what we have learned today to the season that we are in right now. And also to make sense of what the Lord is calling us to focus on to build a deeper life in Christ. I'm sure we are all affected by the latest news on the increase in our community cases. We are reading the news every day, and we are bombarded by news of how our neighbors are suffering. My question to us is, are we trusting God to take us through this challenging season? Or are we turning to men for solution? And have we slipped into a state of spiritual complacency? And even though we're in this season of pandemic, life is still very much as usual. Perhaps there's something for us to reflect on, to examine if we are in this state of spiritual complacency. And Paul wants us in Ephesians 5, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. And friends, because of all this, we need to come back to what the Lord is calling us to focus on in this season, to build a deeper life in Christ by knowing Jesus and by doing His will. Let us pray. Lord, strengthen our faith in You. Lord, we have feared to believe in Your power and might, and we have feared to believe that in You all things are possible, and we have feared to place our trust in You. Instead, we have tried to fix things on our own. And Lord, we have feared to turn to You first. Instead, so often, we have turned to the world for answers and help. Forgive us, Lord. And now, Lord, we ask that You will help us with our unbelief. May You strengthen our faith for Your glory. All this we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord bless you.